ever tried watching your athlete's game from anywhere in the world? With Replayer, you actually can. I had a friend watch his son's game live from his flight. My son watched a live game from the car while we were driving up the California coast. It doesn't matter where you are, grandparents across the country, cousins on the other side of the world, teammates who just moved away, set up the camera, hit go live, and everyone with a link is right there on the sideline. Live streaming is free. Unlimited games, unlimited teams, unlimited users. No complex tiers. Everyone gets access. And forget waiting hours for footage. I recorded a 60-minute game, and it was ready in 5 minutes. Players were clipping highlights on the ride home. One camera, made in the USA, unlimited everything. If you never want to miss those moments, head to replayer.com. The link is in the show notes. Hey soccer friends, I just want to give a shout out to our partner, TeamPlayer. They are changing the game on how you find the perfect soccer team for your player. Parents, this means no more endless social media scrolling to find information on teams. With TeamPlayer, everything you need to know is just a few clicks away. It's simple, straightforward, and lets you find the best coach and team for your player without any of the usual headaches. And coaches, we all know how tough it can be to get your team noticed, but when you subscribe to one of TeamPlayer's team plans, you instantly get access to set up an online team profile that allows you to reach more potential players and showcase what your team is all about. It's super easy and lets players and parents see why your team could be the right fit for them. And if you sign up using the promo code PITCH, you can try any team plan free for 1 month. So whether you're managing a team or searching for one, come on over to www.teamplayer.us. That is TeamPlayer.us. And come give TeamPlayer a look.
Family-owned Soccer Innovation is your go-to source for top-quality equipment. Whether you're a player, a supportive family member, or a dedicated coach, they have everything you need to elevate your game. For players, their innovative equipment are designed to boost your skills and performance on the pitch. From their agility cones to their portable goals, they have you covered. And family members, they offer durable equipment that's built to last because we know your support is critical to your player. Coaches, trust me, they can provide the equipment you need to run effective training sessions and shape the next generation of soccer players. Visit Soccer Innovations at soccerinnovations.com to start elevating your game with them.
And if you use the code PITCH, P-I-T-C-H, you can receive up to 10% off your next order. Hello and welcome back to Chat by the Pitch. This is Ian Babcock, your host. This week, I interviewed Coach Caleb Smith, better known as C. Smitty. This young man is absolutely remarkable. He takes his given talents and finding a better way of sharing the world of soccer with everyone around him. You'll see him on social media. You'll see him all over the place on all the local websites, Facebook groups, and everywhere else, sharing what he's doing, not just as a coach, but as someone that truly cares about the soccer community. So let's start this chat and head to the pitch.
So my name is Caleb Smith. What's up, everybody? First of all, thank you for having me on the podcast, man. I appreciate it. I always love having, you know, candid conversations with people that have some I've met, some I haven't met, so thank you for having me on. A little bit of background, like, I'm from DFW. I've played, well, actually, let's backtrack a little bit. I actually lived in Miami when I was younger, I was born in Fort Worth, but I moved straight to Miami and lived there for like 8 years. Soccer there was, I wasn't the best player. I was average. My brother was really good, and I looked up to him too. But soccer there was, I mean, it was a big Latin Hispanic culture in Miami. A lot of Cubans there, a lot of Hispanic people there. So I really didn't love the game. I liked it. I remember one time my dad, it was, I hate playing in the rain. I was raining one time. My dad was like, "You gonna play or not?" And I was like, "Nope." I stood in the middle of the field and I started crying. And my brother was actually in trouble, so he couldn't play that day. Supposedly he couldn't play. And he was like, get over here, you can't play, da, 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 da. And so, yeah, I didn't really love the game, I liked it. But I did like being out. I did like being outdoors, I love being outside. But when I moved to Texas is really when I started to see not only the passion for the game, but just how many people played it and how competitive youth sports in Texas are. And I've had people who move to Texas and they come to me and are like, "Man, this is a whole different ball game over here." And I was like, "Yeah, Texas, any youth sport in Texas is like a religion here, right? Everybody loves it. You live or die for it, basically." So yeah, I mean, I played for a small club in Arlington, and that's kind of where my journey started. And then from there, I moved to Solar Soccer Club. And I played there my whole youth career up until, yeah, basically from, I think, 10 or 11 until I was 18. So that's kind of my background as far as soccer goes. But, yeah, I mean, there's a lot we can go from there. So, yeah, that's kind of like my history from
academy age. So as you moved from, did you go on beyond the academy then?
So after that, I played for SMU, which is a great experience. Played for Kevin Hudson, who actually, I've known him since I was in maybe seventh grade. So we had a long relationship. I've known him for a long time, and he's helped me, you know, get to the under 17 national team. I played there. I was actually part of the Bradenton program, which is, you live in Florida for like, I was there for 6 months, but the program was 2 years. Yeah, it was a great experience. I was away from home for the first time. I think I was 16. I was a sophomore in high school. And I got to play soccer every day. Every morning, I got to wake up and play soccer, live where people vacation, I like to say. I was in Bradenton. You get to the beaches 10 minutes away. You know, you get to do that. You get to hang out with other good players. You get to meet different people from different parts of the country. It was one of the best experiences of my life. I'm really glad I did that. And, yeah, so I did that. And then I played... My U16 year, we played in the national championship for academy. We played against Real Salt Lake, who had, at that time, they had probably like five or six pros on our team that ended up going pro. They had Brooks Lennon, Sebastian Salcedo, a goalkeeper who was like 6'6". They had another center mid. They had like two center mids. I think they had a right back. But, I mean, they were loaded. And we actually scored first. And after that, I think it was 1-1, and I got an assist. It was 2-1, and then one of our center backs got a red card. But the guy, our goalkeeper, saved the PK. But then from the corner kick, they scored. It was 3-2, and they scored. It was 4-2, and at that point, it was like already done. But that was a really cool experience, though. Getting to play in the national championship with your childhood friends. I mean, I've been. There's one player I played with since I was under 9. Once I moved to Solar, we had been playing together since we started until we graduated high school. So those are the things I like about the game. It gives you opportunities to develop relationships. And some of those players I'm still good friends with to this day, and it's really cool to see because it's almost, especially when you get to college, it's almost like forced friendships at first because you're literally with them 24/7, but then you actually get to form a genuine connection with people. And yeah, some of my best friends, one of my good friends just got married in Colorado. So you get to be in their weddings, you get to see them at the best moments of their life, you know? And I think that's cool that the game brings people together. And most of my friends now, we don't even really talk about soccer that much. Like that's probably, it gets brought up, but you actually get to learn about people first. You know, you can only get to learn about soccer. You get to learn about what they like to do outside of the game, like, tell me about your family. Tell me about your hobbies, you know? So I think that allows us to really expand our horizons with not just being so focused on soccer all the time. So, and then after that, I played for the Riverhounds, Pittsburgh Riverhounds. in Pittsburgh, that was a really, it made me, that experience made me grow up a lot, because I went from being a starter, a basic starter all 4 years. I've always been one of the best players on the team, and now I was a rookie and I was on the bench. And so it was really a moment where I had to like mature, grow up, realize that this is what professional soccer is like. It's a business first and foremost, and you got to prove yourself, and you got to continue to prove yourself, or they're going to find somebody else that is going to prove themselves, you know? So it was a good experience. I had a surgery. I had my sports hernia. I injured that pretty bad. I had surgery, so I was out most of the year. But that's honestly that was when I actually started to form my brand, the See Smitty brand, which we can get into a little bit later. So that kind of, it was kind of a blessing in disguise. So that's kind of my history about soccer. So, yeah.
So you talked about friendships, and I'm going to start there just because I feel most people I've talked to, especially coaches that have coached at high levels, says if you don't have the friendship, the camaraderie on your team, even at a young age, the team won't be successful.
Yeah.
How did you, were you able to build those and forge those relationships at a younger age, or did you learn to do it as you played the game? And as you went on to college, was it easier to do it in college because you were forced to, or was it more fun to do it at a younger age before collegiate?
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing about anything you do, it has to come from within. Any passion has to come from within yourself. And I think for soccer, it was a learned passion, I guess you could say. But as far as friendships, when you're kids, you're a kid. You want to go to the park. You want to go play, jump on a trampoline with your friends. You want to go to the movies. You want to go, I don't know, whatever hobbies you guys have as kids. So it's almost like innocence. You start with innocence, and as you mature, kind of relationships change, and the things you talk about, the things you do with other friends, they change too, because you grow up and mature, you evolve. And so I guess I could say when I was a kid, it was based off of innocence, and you just wanted to be friends, you wanted to be liked. And also too, playing a sport, you get to gain confidence and gain friendships with like-minded people, right? And I think that's a common theme with a lot of my clients that come to me. It's like, hey, we want our kid to really love the game. We want him to have community, right? Community is big. And having a big soccer community is such a small world. I mean, how Leo connected us together. You know, Leo went to the same high school. He didn't go to the same high school with me. He went to the same district I lived in. I didn't know that. But when you meet people, you learn all those different things. And things connect. People connect, right? So it's all about relationships. People and relationships is the key to anything, any successful any successful person. You're gonna have to cultivate positive relationships with other people. So in college, it wasn't. I mean, yeah, like I said, it was forced. It wasn't forced, but it was. Yeah, one of my best friends that in college, his name is Ryan Capo. We became friends based off of music, and one of our favorite artists is Lil Wayne. And I think we were in the locker room one day, and he started playing Lil Wayne, and we just kind of started talking about it, and that's how we became friends. And he's one of my best friends. I would say he's one of my top five best friends. So you just learn about people, right? It's all about relationships. It's all about intentionality with getting to know people for who they are and not what they do. Like, soccer is what we did, but it wasn't who we are, or so much more than that. And yeah, it was a really good experience getting to know different people coming from different cultures, as far as, you know, different parts of the country, socioeconomic background, just stuff like that. Everyone's different, but it brings together. It's so cool seeing how people who are so different also can be so much alike at the same time, and who can come together for a common goal. And yeah, so I think friendships are so important. And even outside of the game, reputation is so big. Like, I'm always big on my reputation. I want to keep a clean name, you know. I want to make sure I'm doing right by people. I want to make sure I'm shaking their hand, looking in the eye when I'm talking to them. Just little things like that go a long way. And yeah, so I'm big on reputation. I'm big on serving people. I'm big on making sure people feel safe, welcome. They feel like they belong, you know. Those are so important. Some really key important factors that I try to display in my brand, just my everyday life. So yeah.
I find it interesting because throughout talking to players, there's two moments they realize who they are. It's first they realize they're not a soccer player, and then they have life outside of soccer. And I watch players, I watch pro players, I've talked to different groups of people now. And the big lesson I think a lot of them talk about is the friendships they make off the pitch. Matt Montaigne, I don't know if you know who he is, he runs a soccer goalie camp, and his big thing with his soccer goalkeeping academy is creating a keeper union.
Yeah.
These are when keepers are the loneliest players
on the pitch. Exactly, yeah.
He described it to me, and is that they have someone to hang out with that has the similar interests, but play the same position. So he's shared a story like a keeper got hurt in the middle of the game. They were both good friends outside of their teams, and when the keeper got hurt, she was the first player down the pitch to beat everyone
to
there.
to go consult, yeah,
to go check on.
Yeah.
Even though they're fierce competitors,
yeah,
on the pitch, at the end of the day, they were two of the closest friends.
Exactly.
And it's amazing that watching my, I have a 9-year-old son, and we've been on a few teams now, and all the friendships he's made, when he sees these kids that play on other teams now, it's like big bear hugs to each other.
Yeah.
It's like, now we have to go be enemies for
in a couple hours.
For the next
season. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
that's normal, yeah.
But it's great seeing that. And like the kids don't let it, the parent politics be involved, or they are so innocent on the field. And when you watch these kids progress,
yeah,
I have a friend that has an older player, and he goes, yeah, it doesn't change. The friendship is always there. Even though you haven't seen each other in a year, it's like they pick up, and like all of a sudden you get phone calls from them now. They want to hang out and do stuff.
Yeah.
They forgot they existed until they saw each other on the pitch again.
Yeah.
And then they move on to be close friends that don't even play in the same teams or even the same leagues anymore or the same level.
Yeah.
But they still keep the friendship. And I think as a parent, and this is where I come from, maybe you can give us, since you're more of one of the younger players I've interviewed.
Yeah.
My son struggles because he doesn't play video games. And that's mostly because of a parent decision, not because of a child.
Yeah.
How do you advise parents or players even that might not have, it's hard to have the same interest because a lot of kids play video games today.
Yeah.
He plays FIFA, but that's
yeah.
Most of it, but he doesn't play all these crazy games. How do you advise parents then as a younger coach and played at a young, still relatively young? How do you advise them to help them bond with their teammates that don't have the same interest and the same?
I mean, I would just ask them what they like. I mean, asking questions. I'm a very curious person. And I was watching this podcast, and he was talking about you can never be curious and offended at the same time, which is very true. Like, if I'm curious about something, or if we don't agree on something, and I'm curious about it, I look at it like, well, why did that person think that way? Why do they say it this way? Why did they not like this? Why did they like this? Right? I think having a curious mind is so important. Like asking open-ended questions. Like, what do you like to do? What do you think about this? Have you seen this online? What do you think about this statement or whatever? You know, creating conversation and being genuine about it, I think, is an easy way for kids to bond. You know, I mean, now I was actually talking to somebody yesterday about, you know, in this day and age, we kids have so much access to information online. There's TikTok, there's Instagram, there's Twitter. I think it's called X now. I don't even think it's called Twitter anymore. They changed the name of it. But kids have so much access to information, which could be good and bad. But I think on the positive side, there's so much information to be had. Kids are gaining so much more knowledge now, and there's so much more of a connection you can make online too with people as much as in person, right? But I think for kids, finding common interests, doing activities together, team bonding, and learning about what they like, learning about who they are as people, as kids, as, you know, 10, 11 year old kids. What do you like to do? What is your favorite movie? What is your favorite superhero? What do you like to do? What do you like? What's your favorite food? You know, what do you eat at lunch? Like, you know what I mean? Stuff like that. You just really got to take time to learn about who people really are and not just look at them as I play on the right side, you play on the left side, right? But even if they play outside back and you play outside mid, even that connection with off the field can even now make a strong connection on the field too. It makes a huge difference. If you trust the person, if you guys are good friends, you trust that person, hey, I'm going to play my ball down the line, I'm going to trust he's going to get to it. I'm going to trust that he's going to be able to play this ball to me or make a good 1-2 down the line, whatever it is. So I think when you have that and when you have trust between two people and now you have a whole team that's trusting each other, now the team camaraderie is going to go up, your performance is going to go up, everything's going to kind of mesh, right? But I think finding out who people are at their core is one of the most important things to really try to cultivate as a team in a team setting and individually too.
I think that is, as a parent, that's a hard thing because you mentioned building that relationship.
I think building a relationship outside of it, it gives you more comfortability because there's no like hidden agendas, I guess you could say. It's like you want to know something about somebody just to know about it, and then maybe you forget it on the field or not, you know. But if you're outside of the game, that's kind of on the back burner now. Like, you're just getting to know them as like, yo, who is this person as a, at their core, you know?
I recently interviewed Juan Martinez with DKSC,
mm-hmm.
and he said like his first team that he had, they called him dad or something like that, or
yeah.
uncle. And it's like he as a coach had a good relationship with the players. But he goes, I had most of them, they were the same age as my daughter, and they were raised with
me. I mean, it takes a village to raise a kid, you know? It's everything. Right. Everything's involved in it. I mean, you got, like, even, I know all my coaches have made a difference in my life in some way. I remember Coach Oglesby, he used to coach at South Lake Carroll. You know Coach O?
I know who it
is. Yeah, I think he still coaches, actually.
He coaches the summer stuff.
Yeah, that's crazy. But he was the first one who taught us about pressure, cover, balance, and what was the other one? Delay, deny, destroy. Like the three principles of individual defending and the three principles of group defending. And now even when I'm teaching kids, I use his principles that he taught me. So you always learn. You always take little nuggets of wisdom from coaches. Like I've had a coach. I mean, Adrian Sokol is probably my most influential coach because he's had me for a long time. And I take nuggets of what he taught me and I teach it to my kids. Right. So it's almost like all the coaches you have bits and pieces of them inside of you. And I think it's my responsibility as a coach to now give that to the next generation of kids to say, hey, this is what I received. I was able to be successful from it. Now I'm giving it to you to be successful from it. And now you give it to whenever you get to my age, you give it to the next person, right? So I think it's like the evolution of life. You know, you always want to pass down those things to the next generation of kids. So,
I think that's the thing with soccer that you're able to do. You get to pass information down. You get to hand.
Yeah.
You're taught, and you can take what you like and what you didn't like and filter it out. And
yeah.
And what worked well with you. I think that is key, is finding that camaraderie among your teammates. Now, as you move through the system, you said you played for the U16 national team?
U17,
yeah. U17, sorry. Yeah,
no, you're good.
That's bad numbers.
Yeah,
U17. Because you were 16 at the time.
Yeah, it's like U15. Well, they had the U14 ID, then they had U15, U17, and U20s. I think they have U19s now, too.
They have U19s now.
Yeah.
Because the U19 team last season with Nolan Norris.
Oh, right.
Played really well
On
the national, on the international.
I know who that is. He plays for FC Dallas, North Texas, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I interviewed him earlier this year. And it's amazing what they talk. Every player has talked about something slightly different they have taken.
Right.
And most successful players I've came to realize want to teach what they've been taught.
Yeah.
Not just.
You don't want to withhold. The withholding information is one of the worst things. You got to give out free game. Like, yeah. I'm giving y'all free game right now, you know?
Right.
So it's. You don't want to withhold. I remember I was watching this. I don't know if you've heard of Eric Thomas. He's like a motivational speaker. And he always talked about all of his videos on his YouTube are free. And other motivational speakers, they charge people to access. If you want to pay it, you got to pay $20 a month. I don't know what it is.
Right.
But if you give away free game, it's going to come back to you. It's almost like. If you go to there's a Parks Mall. It's called this teriyaki chicken place in the Parks Mall. I used to go to all the time, and they would give you a sample for free. So they say, okay, we're gonna give you a free sample. Now, if you want to buy it, you gotta pay the full price. But we're gonna give you a free sample. Yeah. So now you get a free sample. How much did that cost you? How much did that piece of chicken cost you versus the meal they're about to pay? So yeah, I mean, I think that's a huge thing, is you gotta give away free game, like. Because if you give away a free game, it's going to come back. God's going to come back and bless you for sure, you know.
I don't disagree with that. So on the U17 national team, how much did you enjoy playing that, doing that? Because it's a lot more intense, I feel.
Yeah, it was a different experience because you're now with considerably the 32 best players in the country, and you have an obligation to represent your country at the highest level, you know. So when people see, think about the U.S., like, you are the U.S. in a sense, you know, because you're representing the entire USA, USA Soccer Federation. Like, right. Okay, if this kid is this good or this or not, this is what the representation you're putting on the field for U.S., you know. I mean, was it pressure? Not really. Like, it was fun. It wasn't really pressure for me. Like, I don't really feel pressure, but it was difficult because you're walking into an environment where there are players who are already professionals, you know, and going and playing overseas or getting scouted overseas, and you're just a kid on Solar's Academy, which is we were good, you know, but it wasn't like there was a guy who was on, you know, BVB and players getting scouted in Europe, getting scouted by like Man City, Arsenal, and like you're literally sitting right next to these players that are on the same field as them. But it was a really cool experience. I got to experience new people, new style of play. I got to test myself against the best. I mean, I was one of the best, so I had to test myself against the best too. So it was a really cool experience, though. I was there for 6 months. We played soccer. It was so funny. It basically was like opposite of school because obviously you go to school in the morning. We would play soccer in the morning, then we would go to school in the afternoon from like 1 to 4. It was only like 3 hours. It was kind of nice. So we got the professional-ish lifestyle.
Right.
As much as you can as a 17-year-old, 16-year-old kid. But yeah, it was cool. I was at IMG. IMG is one of the most prolific, I would say, high school. It's like it's not a boarding school. I wouldn't say it's a boarding school, but it's a highly renowned high school slash sports facility. My brother actually worked there a couple years ago. But yeah, it was cool living at that campus. There was a lot of other famous athletes, I guess. I think Maria Sharapova's sister was a tennis player there at the time, I think, or she's related to her some way. So, I mean, that was cool. There was different famous people. There was different things to do. You go to the beach, stuff like that. I mean, it was a different culture than back home in Texas. So it was a cool experience.
Yeah, that IMG is one of the largest.
IMG, yeah.
It's one of the really largest agencies now.
Agencies, yeah. It's an agency. I was trying to put my
Recruit players to get them into the pro level.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Which is awesome. That's where you actually train for the U-17.
Yeah, that's where we train. But I think they did away with that. They don't have that anymore, I don't think. I think the next cycle after me was the last cycle.
With IMG. I know, yeah. IMG's still around.
No, IMG's still there, but I don't think I think now they don't have like a boarding school where you go. I think they just invite you in for camps now.
Okay.
But yeah, I think after that, like I think after like Christian Pulisic's one, Mason McKinney, I think after that one, I think they did away with it, I'm pretty sure.
Gotcha.
But it was cool, man. It was a dream come true. Like I remember that year, I had told myself that was my end goal, was to get invited to the thing. And I remember we were playing in the showcase in Florida in Bradenton, and we were playing, I think, Baltimore Bays, and the U-17, his name was Richard Williams. He was sitting on the sideline, and my coaches didn't even tell me that. They didn't want to get me nervous. And after the game, they were like, hey, the U-17 coach is watching you play. And when I got home the next week, I got an email from them like, hey, we want you to come on trial. So it was pretty cool. Like, how that all happened, you know? So
it's amazing how the soccer community works and the soccer world works, and
yeah,
how it just takes one person watching you play to get the influence to possibly to get a look at for something else.
Yeah.
So as you're playing at a younger age, when did you realize you were Caleb the soccer player and Caleb the person? Because I feel like kids.
You mean when I realized I wasn't that, or I was
like,
that?
Like the you have two identities. You have the identity on the pitch. Then you have what I call the real life identity.
And correct.
When you talk to sports psychiatrists, it's hard for kids and players at a young age to identify
themselves as something different.
As something different.
Correct.
There's so much emphasis on
it's your whole life.
Your whole right.
Yeah.
Everything you do is the soccer world, and then all of a sudden, like, no, you're more than just.
Yeah. So that's when my brain comes in. So this was May of 2019. I had gotten surgery, and I remember. So when you get surgery for your groin, I didn't realize this. Like you don't really understand something until you can't do it. Like you take it for granted, even like walking. So I'll tell you what happened. So I got surgery. I got home. I couldn't walk. Like I couldn't get out of my bed. The only way I could get out of my bed was to go to the restroom, and that would take me literally. If this is the restroom, I'm like over there. It would take me like 10-15 minutes just to get there, because I would have to like get up. And then I have to like wobble to the restroom, because everything comes from your core. Like even if you sit up or stand up, it comes from your core.
Right.
And I didn't even know it until I couldn't do it, you know. And I had this. I kind of knew I had wanted to start my own brand. And it's kind of crazy because my mom actually bought the domain for my website a year before I even started it. She bought that when I was in college. So hey, any kids out there listening, your parents know you're good before you know you're good. They have your best interests at heart. So she bought the domain, I think it was a year before, and I ended up using that domain. It would already been bought. And had I not done it, maybe it would have been more expensive, or maybe it would have been taken. But I started my own brand called C Smitty, and that basically is a brand about self-love, self-identity. Who like, if you look in the mirror, who do you see? Like, what do you see? How do you see yourself? Who do you see yourself as? What do you like? And it's about self-love. I think self-love is so important. And maybe kids, when I was that age, I didn't really understand what that was. But when I got older, you really have to figure out like who you are, what do you like, how do you see yourself, and how can you help other people do that? And I mean, that's the purpose of my brand. Like, obviously, the overarching theme is to use my gifts and talents to glorify God and serve others. Because as a Christian, I believe that I need to, you know, be a shining light and be a vessel for Christ so other people can see Christ. And even says in Scripture, like, God says we're uniquely and wonderfully made. Like, he makes us individual. Every person is different. Like, there will never be another C. Smitty, Caleb Smith, ever.
Every blade of grass. I think it's the Scripture you're talking about. It talks about the blade of grass, like, or it's grass or something.
Yeah.
Every blade is its own unique.
It's uniquely itself. And there will never be another you. There'll never be another, right, Messi or anyone else. So you got to think of yourself as one of one. Like, I always think of myself, there's only one me. And when you see yourself as there's only one you, you can get to, you gain confidence in yourself and you begin to see yourself that way. So yeah, that's what the C. Smitty brand, and I really made it to where it's not about soccer. Soccer is a big part of what it is, but at the core of it, it's about finding out who you are as a person. And I wanted to make that statement because I didn't want people to see, oh, I could have easily made it C. Smitty Soccer Identity. I could have easily made it something with soccer involved in it. And obviously my business name is C. Smitty Soccer Training, but that's just the soccer part of it. It's C. Smitty LLC because that's who I am as a person at my core, right? So I wanted to really shed a light on, you're so much more than an athlete. You're so much more than even a contract. Because if you think of it business way, they see you as not they. Well, I guess you could say they don't. But clubs can see you as a dollar sign. Like, hey, we're trying to get this amount of money out of you and sell you off for a profit. You know what I mean? Because that's how the business side of it is very true.
I don't think
players
and parents realize
that aren't
from the soccer world.
Correct.
That everything's a transaction.
It's a transaction. It's very transactional.
Every person is a number, and they are not a person.
The higher up you get from it, the more business-like it becomes. Like, even youth soccer, it's like, yeah, you pay your dues, this and that, but we're a part of a big family, and we all love each other. You get to college, it's like, if I'm giving you a scholarship, a full ride, I need you producing for me right now.
Right.
And if you're not producing right now, I'm not going to play you, or I don't think they can revoke scholarships. I don't even know that, but maybe they can. Like, if you're not producing for me right now,
Pull scholarships, so a lot of players now are having it in that they don't lose their full ride if X, Y, and Z happens.
Correct, yeah.
And, I mean, it started when I graduated. I'm graduating in 2002, so it gives you an idea.
Yeah.
And I know that kids that I went to school with that had scholarships, they said in their scholarship, you can't pull my scholarship for any reason.
Whatever
it may be,
but
you can't pull it.
A lot of it's performance-based. It becomes more as you go up. It becomes more business like, and that's, is it good or is it bad? I wouldn't say either one. It's just the reality of what it is. Because now a coach is trying to keep their job. You know, they're trying to get paid too. So it's hard as you get up. You gotta really figure out, because you could get caught up in all of that hoopla really quick, and you could say they value me at this amount of money, but I'm better than that. I'm this. So you gotta really understand. If all this is taken away, like, would you still be who you say you are? You know what I mean? And that's really what it comes down to.
That's the thing I've learned with a lot of these players. It's I asked a coach, like, how are you today? He goes, I got up today, and it's a good day. That's exactly what he says to me every single time I see him. And it's like the small little things, you can't take it for granted. And it's just appreciate. And here I'm like, I work 9 to 5, and you get to play soccer every day.
Soccer
is like two different worlds.
I
work a 9 to 5, but at the same time, that is his 9 to 5. It doesn't mean it's not hard. It's not challenging. It has its own limitations. I mean, I recently was told, like, this coach, his goal is to get his program up and running to be well enough where it's their day job. They don't have to worry about the grind of a 9 to 5, then coming coaching
at night,
in the evening, and not see his family or her, not see her family, whatever the case may be.
Yeah,
is that it can be a real job like it is in the rest of the world, and here in the United States, it's we pay a good fortune. I mean, I will admit, we knew the price tag of playing club soccer at a select level.
Correct.
We knew what it was going to be. We've been talking about it for a year.
And
it's like we had the choice. We could let my son play age or play up a year and play select.
Yeah.
Playing age means it's a third of the cost.
Yeah. Oh yeah. When you get that select, sign that contract July 1st, you locked in.
And it's at the same time, it is what, and this is the aspect as a parent, we look at it as, My wife put it very well. We had a chance to live our dreams. We're still living our dreams. We have our kids. We have our lives. But at the same time, we have kids. And what are their dreams? What are their ambitions? And we are the facilitators.
Correct. 100%.
Of those dreams. And as long as we can find a way to do it. And I think this is the difference between most parents and I call them the parents that are living through their kids. I will admit, I do live through my kid vicariously because I never played soccer. I'm not a third of the athlete of my 9-year-old or my 5-year-old ever will be. Because they both are phenomenal little athletes. Mm-hmm. But I love going to their practices. My wife is right. I have a hard time outside of soccer. It's like my life, as you can tell, evolves around soccer. Outside of my actual day job. It's like I love going to watch my daughter do her gymnastics. But what it has done for me as a parent, the friendships you make, you talk about it off the pitch. It's like we still hang out with parents that
That's cool, man. Yeah.
And that, I think
that's really cool.
I think that is the difference between a lot of sports is that once you're done with them,
you're done. Yeah, you cut ties, right?
And a lot of families cut ties. Their kids still play soccer. Their daughter still does gymnastics.
Yeah.
And our kids were in the same team and same gymnastics time.
Yeah.
But we've maintained the friendship.
Yeah.
Outside of
because it was genuine and authentic. It wasn't based on. It was like I said, soccer brings people together, but it's the actual friendship and relationship that keeps you there. It keeps that bond, that friendship. If it was always based on soccer or whatever that thing was going on there in their life, then you knew it wasn't authentic, wasn't genuine, because when it's gone, then they're gone too, or you're gone too, right? But if it was more than that, you know the friendships that are like legit, you know what I mean? And you know the ones that aren't. And it's not bad. Sometimes there's seasons in your life where you have to maybe move on from some friends. It's part of life, you know?
We joke that soccer is a 1-year commitment.
It makes sense.
But at the same time, like, we see parents we know and I'll instantly pick up a conversation and it's like we never not seen each other, but it was only tied because we saw each other 4 days a week, 5 days a week, depending on what's going on.
And then
the text messages start back up and then you have conversations again, and they slowly will dwindle again. But it's great that the soccer community does. I've learned how small it is. You talked about Leo and how, like, we talked about you at one of the matches for North Texas.
Yeah.
What you're doing to me. I'm like, I need to go find this person. And I
Leo, seen you out there. Shout out Leo, man. Leo's GOAT, man.
And he
I don't even know how me and Leo, how do we, no, you know what happened? That's what he did. He hit me up on Facebook because I was on those Facebook groups and he gave me like free FC Dallas tickets one time. I was like, man, that's really generous you do that. And so I ended up buying, I think that next week I bought an FC Dallas season membership, and I've had one since then, since like 2021. And I bought season tickets for the North Texas. I give those away to people. Those type of people come in your life that are generous, you got to keep them there, man. Like, and you got to serve them too. It's not a one-way street. It's a two-way street. I'm going to give you something. You're not going to just give me – I'm not going to delay you to give me something. I'm going to serve you too, you know?
That's how Leo and I started talking was because – I'm very proud of where I work and I want my work to be where I go see and all these matches we go see. And it's like, it would be nice to see like the corporate being advertised there. But it doesn't happen always that way. So like I help set up meetings and trying to figure out hunting down the right people because the company markets everywhere. It's funny how it all works out. And if I have a question or if I want tickets, I go straight to Leo only because I'm not buying it from another rep.
When you find those people that that do right by you and you do right by them, that's the only person I text or call for anything. And I have another guy, Sean, for FC Dallas, that I call him. Hey, if you need tickets, call Sean.
Right.
If I need to call, I call Sean. Hey, call Sean. I remember when Leo Messi came here. that was, you know how, because I had season tickets and I had everybody. You got tickets, you got tickets, you got tickets, da da da. And I was like, hey, text Sean, man, he'll get you right, you know? But, whenever you find those relationships and those connections, I always keep, like, I go to certain people for my embroidery and my shirts and my hats, everything, all my merch. I go to the same people because you want to, like, I'm a small business. I love supporting other small businesses because I know the value of, like, hey, they're doing more for me than I'm doing for them. I'm doing more, like, when people come to me for training, I treat them, they're like a part of my family.
Right.
Like, they're y'all family. Yeah, they're part of my family. Like, and I treat them like that. You know, it's all about how you treat people, because if people are spending their money for your business, Because, like, I don't work for an employer. Like, I am the employer. You know, I am the business, right? So when people, like, seek out, I'm like, man, y'all are part of my family. Like, straight up. And I treat them like that. I treat them. I give away all types of stuff. I give away cleats. I give away, you know, people who serve me. I'm going to come back and give some right back to you, you know? I think that's so important is, you know, when people sow a seed and you sow a seed right back into them.
So I totally agree with that.
You got to sow seeds into people, man.
So. And that is the thing about the soccer community is it is so small. And you learn who you can trust and who you can seek advice from. I have Correct. Coaches that I have never coached with.
Yeah.
Coached at the same club.
Yeah.
And I still talk to them weekly asking for advice or checking in on them, seeing how they're doing. Because it's fostering and building those relationships. And I think soccer for players, young players, teach that.
Yeah.
So with that being said, like, how did you learn to communicate then with your coaches? Because at a young age, I mean, you're playing at a high level. I mean, at 16 years old, you said you were playing on the national team. What age did you learn to communicate with your coaches? I mean, this is something I forced my son to do on his...
It was hard. I was very shy as a kid. I was, like, incredibly shy. It was hard. I would say... Gaining comfortability, because I mean, most, even with the kids that come to me and they don't know me, this is the first time, like the first session, I remember I had a kid who came to me, it was like 2021, wouldn't say a word in session. Not a bad thing, like, he was just really shy, and I understand because I was shy too. And now 2 years later, he's like very more comfortable, he's talking more, he's asking me questions, right? And so I think it just takes time. It really does. I mean, because kids need time to grow confidence. I think confidence has a huge part in how you communicate. I'll tell you right now, man, like, if I didn't have soccer, it would be hard for me to sometimes communicate with people. It really would, because that kind of gave me a confidence to say, hey, I'm good at something. Now I can translate this confidence to something I'm maybe not as good at, you know?
Right.
And I think that's important too. But I think for me, it was just little bits and pieces of like, hey, man, what can I do to get better? What can I do to improve? What can I do to, you know? And I think even coaches facilitate, like, even for me, I facilitate conversations with kids who maybe not don't feel left out, but maybe aren't as confident up front than other kids, because some kids be bouncing off the walls like, what's up, coach, what's up, blah, 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 you know, and which is great, but some kids aren't. And I'm like, okay, you kind of have to be patient with those other kids, right? And you say, okay, let me ask them one question. Okay, they responded well, let me ask them another question, right? You kind of have to start baby steps. And I guess that's a coach's responsibility too, to say, what type of personalities do I have on a team? You have to know your personalities, because that will either improve or, you know, not your, the overall dynamic of the team. Right. So you got to know, okay, who are my leaders? Who are my vocal guys? Can I yell at this kid? Cause if I yell at this kid, is he going to shut down? Is he not? Do I need to pull him to the side and talk to him privately? Maybe during halftime at the game, you know, you got to know your players' mentality too.
Right.
So I think that's it's on both. I would say it's more, I feel like with the kids are younger, it's more on the coach. But as you get older, I think it's more of a responsibility on the player to seek out help, to seek out. Because, I mean, even when I was playing at Riverhounds, I would do extra work. I would say, hey, one of the coaches, like, hey, what can I do to get better? And I would stay over, do cross, because I play left back. I would work on crosses. I work on driving the ball, clipping the ball, like putting it in a dangerous area, like, I did extra work because, like, hey, like, what do I need to do to get on the field? You know, right. So I wasn't playing. I was like, I want to play. What do I need to do to get on the field? So I think that from a age confidence perspective, I think when you're younger, it could be more on the coach. But when you get older and you gain more confidence, it's up to you, because, hey, if you want to reach the next level, you're the person that's going to make it happen. Like, the main person, the coaches can help you and everyone else. But if you want to do it, it's on you, you know, so you got to take responsibility for what you want. So.
I the reason I ask, my son's 9, and I make him go to his coach once a week and ask, what do I need to work on? What do you think I'm struggling with? What feedback do you have? And it's like, so I can either have his private coach work with him
or
have a conversation with the coach more on what they might be looking for. It's like the other night, my son keeps on overcommitting on defense.
Yeah.
And like, where's this coming from? You've never done this in the past.
It's
because he's playing a year up. These kids are slightly faster than him.
Correct.
And so he's overcommitting because of X, Y, and Z. Now it's, how do you break those habits?
Correct.
And how does the coach want him to play defense? Because how he played defense last year with his last coach and how they play defense now with the new coach might be completely different styles.
Yeah.
So I asked him, like, how do you want him to do it? And can you explain it to him so him and I can work on it?
Yeah.
And I think I had my son go up and start the conversation.
Yeah.
And then I
initiated. Yeah.
And then I followed up with questions I wanted to hear. But
yeah.
I normally have him go up and ask, because the biggest complaint I hear from coaches is that players don't know how to talk to them.
Correct. No, that's how I was. I didn't know how to talk to my coach when I was a younger player. You know, it was almost like an intimidation. Not intimidation, but it was just nervous. They're older than you. You look up to them. You don't want to, you don't want to not offend them, but you don't want to come off as, oh, he doesn't know what he's talking about, you know? But it's just, you don't know. Like, you're ignorant to the information. Ignorance is not a bad thing, but you need to get the information you need to say, okay, now this makes sense, you know?
And I think of a coach, and I actually told this coach, like, this is why he's coming. It's not because I'm telling him so he learns to have that communication. My son has no problem talking to an adult, but he has a hard time talking to another 9-year-old.
Yeah.
It's like, it broke my heart the other day because we got back from our vacation.
Yeah.
And he rode Tron at Disney. So all he wanted to do since we've been back from Disney is to watch the movie Tron.
Oh, yeah. Where did Disney y'all go to?
Disney World.
In Florida? Okay, yeah.
And so he rode Tron.
Yeah.
And he wanted to watch the movie that the ride was based off.
Yeah.
He watched everything the last 10 minutes of the movie. Why? I go, the last 10 minutes are so important.
Yeah.
He wraps the whole story together. He goes, nope, I got enough out of it.
Yeah,
and he turned it down because I wanted to watch the Messi match. Like, I've been waiting to watch the Leagues Cup finals.
Yeah. Oh, they played. Who they played? Philly? No.
Miami played.
Nashville.
Nashville.
Yeah.
And I wanted to watch the game with him.
Yeah.
Because, no, you can watch it without me. I want to watch Tron. I'm like, it's like, okay, I get it. It's like you're being a kid, which
you do not
want to take that away.
Yeah, that's so important, man. Kids got to be kids at their core. You got to let them go to the water park. You gotta, like, they gotta experience. Because, I mean, at one point, like, I always say this to, well, I don't, maybe I do say it too much, but the ball's gonna stop dribbling at one point. Like, you're gonna, at one point, like me, maybe sooner than I thought it was, but I don't play anymore competitively like I thought I was. So you always gotta have, not a backup plan, but you gotta also know who you are outside of that, like we talked about before.
Right.
It's so important. Because at some point, and a lot of people struggle with that. Like, when I first stopped, I struggled with who am I outside of that when I first stopped playing. And it took time for me to get that. And, like, when I started my brand, it was kind of like a slowly but surely thing, you know. But, yeah, I would encourage people to figure that out as you're growing up, you know, which could be harder because that's all the kids want to do is, like, who wants to go pro? Everybody raises their hand, you know.
Right.
So that's all they think about. That's all I thought about too, you know. So it's kind of a push and pull thing, you know, to really figure that out. But
I think Randy Johnson, the baseball player, got it right. He goes, photography.
Oh, yeah. He's a photographer for the MLB, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that was his passion. But photography paid the way for – I mean, baseball paid the way
exactly.
for him to retire.
Correct.
And be a full-time photographer. And, I mean, the man's phenomenal. I mean, I don't know if you've seen any of his photos he's taken. Photos from Africa that he's taken. He has photos from baseball.
Cool.
But he goes, I had to find a way to pay for my passion.
To do that. Correct.
And I think that's what parents, I'm guilty of this as myself, is that my son from the age of, his first word wasn't mom or dad, it was ball. The first thing he played with was a ball pushing it around the house.
Yeah.
I still remember him crawling and just smacking the ball, crawling, smacking the ball.
Yeah.
From a young age, like, we don't have an athlete here.
Yeah.
But his first word was ball. It wasn't mom or dad, as much as I tried to make
Sheesh.
A dad.
Yeah.
But now he plays soccer, and my biggest fear as a parent is I will make him hate the game.
Yeah.
This the beautiful game, and that's what the conversation we had last night, is because instead of telling him what he needs to be doing, I ask him questions.
Yeah.
And if he's not getting the questions, that's when I get frustrated.
Yeah.
It's like, what do you need to do on the field? Like, his private coach told him one time, if you're standing in space, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Because you're occupying space.
I call it the 2-second rule. If you're standing somewhere more than, I think it's 2 or 3 seconds. You need to be moving somewhere else.
And I go, if you're standing in space, what are you doing? Occupy space. So if you're moving, what are you doing? Creating space.
Yeah.
I go, if your team has the ball, what do you need to be doing? Moving. Like, yes.
Moving.
I go, I know that's the answer. What else? If there's no line between you and your teammate, what do you need to create?
Yeah.
Space. I'm like, bud, no. And like, and I got to the point, it's like, bud, what does your teammate have to do if he has the ball eventually? He has 3 choices. What are they? And we walk through the 3 choices.
Yeah.
It's dribbling, passing, or shooting. Like, okay, so if he can't shoot and he can't dribble, what do you have to create?
Yeah.
Like, couldn't get him to do it through, and I turned around, and we're at a stoplight, and I turned around and says, bud, I know you're smart. You're just regurgitating answers to give me an answer.
Yeah.
I want you to be creative.
Yeah.
Think about it for a minute. He goes, okay. And I go, if there's a line between you and me, what does that create? He goes, a passing lane. I go, okay, on the field, what do you always have to be creating for your teammate that has the ball if you're within range? He goes, a passing lane. I go, that's what you need to be thinking of. You need to be creative to get to that point.
Yeah.
Check in, move around. I go, I don't want to give you answers because it doesn't teach you anything. You have to think it through yourself.
Correct.
And I go, this is where I get frustrated, is because I can only say so much before I give you the answer.
Yeah, that's very true.
And I go, as a parent, I coached him for a year and a half, and the one thing I was taught was you need to let players be creative. Let them find the answers. And the more I've done these interviews, every player has told me, stop giving your players the answers. Ask them questions.
Yes, so true.
Because that was the big lessons they have learned, was the coaches didn't teach them through walkthroughs. They taught them through the creative process of thinking.
They teach you like processes and how to get to, maybe how to get to the end, but now how do we get from the right back to the left wing passing through the lines? Like, how do you pattern play? Like, they would teach us pattern play, but in the game, there's not going to be a man, there's not going to be a perfect, okay, remember we went here and now we got to go here. And now we got, no, you don't. You don't have to go there. Work it back, and you can go forward. You come around, and that's why I love watching Man City. That's one of my favorite teams to watch. The guy's a genius.
Yes,
and I remember how he brought. He was talking about how he brought John Stones in the midfield from I think they played four in the back, but then an attacker was like a 3-3-2 something. And it was an extra man in midfield. It was John Stones, and it was just genius because John Stones is really good on the ball. He's almost like a defense. I think he's better at defensive mid, but he plays alongside of Rodri, and now there's two defensive mids, and now one can push up, and now they still have the three in the back that are spaced out. So if you lose the ball, he can recover quickly. So it's that, just stuff like that. And I know he doesn't say, we got to do this all the time. Like, no, he's going to give you ideas, and then it's your choice to – like, I always tell kids, like, I can't play for you. Like, I can't, and I don't want to. Like, I want you to figure it out. I'm going to give you – say, hey, this is what would work, but how do you see this? How do you see the situation happening in the game? How do you see this opening up as a center mid? Like, I give them – I do a lot of tactical stuff and functional stuff for specific positions. And I give them ideas like, okay, here's a defender. The goal's over here. How can you get around this defender from this angle? Boom. But I don't tell them, do this, this, and that. Like,
you can show them ideas.
Show them ideas, correct.
But you can't do it for them. Yeah. And I think as parents, we want to joystick coach more than we ever want before. I mean, it's my, when I was coaching, that was my biggest pet peeve is it's not my job to tell you when to shoot. As a player, you're talking seven-year-olds.
Yeah.
It's your job just to line yourself up and shoot every time you get the ball within 30 feet of the goal.
Yeah.
I don't care if it goes in or not. Yeah. Eventually, you'll learn to have accuracy.
Correct. Yeah.
But if you don't learn just to fire it away, when you're not – I'm looking at 11-year-olds right now that struggle with just shooting the – receiving the ball, taking one touch, and shooting the ball.
Yeah.
And not caring. They want to make the goal so bad. Well, when you take the three extra touches, four extra touches, you lost your window.
Correct. Yeah.
And now – you shoot, it's going to go off a defender somewhere, or it's like the goalie already knows where you're shooting. And as parents, that's a struggle. I mean, 6 months from now might pop and flourish and be putting those balls in every single time because someone finally made a comment to him.
Yeah, those words can change lives, man. I mean, words and positive affirmation and just that little, because kids need time to develop. But once it clicks in their head, like even for me, when I was, I remember I tried out for ODP, and this was when I was in fifth grade, I believe. And I cried the whole way in the car. Like, I didn't think I was good enough. And I remember I got out, and we did the 1v1 drill. And after the 1v1 drill, the coach was like, you need to be over here with these kids. After, like, one drill. And I was like, what? But that clicked for me. And after that, when I gained confidence, from there, I didn't look back, you know? So it just takes it could be anything. It could be, like, what you said. It could be someone telling you to shoot a certain way that you weren't shooting right before, or move in a certain way that you weren't moving before, or saying, giving you words of encouragement, you can do it. And then after that, and it worked. And you see, I think a kid thrives best when they see it actually works in the game, and they do something well and it works. Like, oh wow, they're right. And then when they do it again and again. So I think it could be a lot of different factors of kids of just like you said, hit that switch, and now they're a different player. So
it's fun. Like, as a parent, I get frustrated. Then I take my frustration out on the ref that's next walking in front of me. Why are you calling this?
Have you ever got kicked out of the game?
Not yet, but I had a ref last season. I yelled handball, blatant handball. It wasn't foot to hand. It was ground. Ball bounced on the ground. Kid put his hand up out of natural body movement and handball. And the everyone's like, handball. And I yelled handball like a second later than everyone else.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he turns to me and goes, do you want the whistle? Like, I have my reffing certification done, sure. And he looked at me, he goes, then why aren't you out here? He goes, I want to watch my kid play. And after the game, I went over and talked to him and had a conversation. I go, I don't mean any disrespect.
Yeah.
I go, there's just a few things that drive me nuts. Safety and a blatant handball. I go, I know it's about angle. I'm sitting lower to the ground. I am not 25 yards away. I am 15 feet away, 20 feet away. And watching it at my angle, I know it's all angles. It's just me yelling, and I go, I apologize. And after that, every time he saw me, he goes, well, like, we had a candid conversation.
Yeah,
we had a sense of humor. He, like, he knew that I was not being nasty or mean. It was new sports, is that you have that. Like, even though they're a brand new team.
You already, it's like a mini family. You do everything together. I mean, that's what I'm saying. We, even when I was in college, my roommates were my teammates. You live with them. You see them every day your whole life. You see them at your worst, see them at your best, when you're down, when you're up. I mean, they get to see the most vulnerable sides of you that probably only your family has ever seen that besides them, you know, because, or your friends too, but they become that part of your family, you know, so.
Hey everyone, I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of Chat by the Pitch. Caleb was a great guest and fun to talk to, and as you notice, it abruptly ended. Now this means there's a part two coming out here shortly, and when you guys listen to this, this is more about what he's doing on his private lessons, but he's a remarkable young man, and the things that he does and continue doing as who he is as a person, and the positive energy he brings with him to the game, to our community, is unbelievable. So if you do like him and want to hear more about him, wait until next week. And if you guys want to have him, reach out to his social media, and that are linked in the comments to this episode. If you guys really enjoy this podcast, please give me a rating and review and give me some stars and some love, so to speak, for my podcast. And until next time, see you at the pitch.